Good morning, my beloved brethren and sisters. Work for me is crazy right now. My current employer, Fujifilm, is a very different place to my previous employer, Cummins. Cummins was an easy job for me. I had it sorted. I rarely worked extra hours, but all that changed last July. The pharmaceutical industry is completely new to me. The engineering is totally different. I am on a huge learning curve. The systems are antiquated, and some days I feel like I have to fight to get my job done. And on top of all that, I've been working some crazy hours, starting at 4:30 in the morning, 14-hour days, Saturdays and Sundays. My project was late before we ever got started. And because my work is for a COVID vaccine, the UK government is pushing us to go faster and faster. And I feel a weight of national responsibility on my shoulders in the work that we are doing. I'm exhausted and work is constantly on my mind. And yet, brethren and sisters, despite all that, I have never once regretted moving jobs. Yes, work for me is crazy right now. Yes, I am exhausted, but I enjoy it and I willingly do the extra hours. And the reason for this, brethren and sisters, is very simple, appreciation. At Cummins, I never, ever felt appreciated. At Fuji, I know I'm appreciated. My boss makes that very clear. He tells me on a regular basis, I felt more appreciation in my first month at Fuji than in 6 years at Cummins. And that situation, brethren and sisters, and that contrast got me thinking. And made me think, how appreciative are we of God's blessings? Are we thankful for God's guidance? Is our appreciation genuine? When we say our prayers, when we thank God, are we really truly appreciative? Or are we just repeating vain babbling? How often, brethren and sisters, have you and I drifted off to sleep in our warm, comfortable beds and never really finish our evening prayers? When did we last trot off the Lord's Prayer by rote and the words mean nothing to us? I think it was Brother Harry Tennant that called it the fag end of the day. Do we only give the Lord the fag end of the day? Many of us were born and raised Christadelphians, weren't they? We've been Christadelphians our whole life, and most of us don't know any different. And I think consequently, brethren and sisters, our appreciation and our enthusiasm can suffer. And when I struggle with this, brethren and sisters, when I struggle with my enthusiasm and my appreciation, I remind myself, I try to remind myself of my youth at Cambridge Ecclesia. And one particular brother, Brother Cyril Murphy. Brother Cyril found the truth later in life. Some would say that he found God's truth by total chance, a discarded Christadelphian leaflet that he happened to pick up. We would know that that's not chance at all. Everything happens for a plan, through God's plan and purpose. He had been a navigator on the Lancaster bombers in World War II. He had flown over Germany. He had faced the barrage of the German defences, and he had faced death in a very real way. He had seen the evil of mankind up close and personal, and he knew how close he had been to missing out on God's salvation. Consequently, brethren and sisters, he never stopped talking about God's word. It cost him his marriage. His wife gave him an ultimatum. It's me or the religion, she said. And he chose God's word. He was a tonic and a wonderful brother to be around. And as I thought of Brother Cyril over the years, I've asked myself many times, how do I be like that? And the truth is, brethren and sisters, it's not easy, is it? To have enthusiasm like that can be a real challenge, but I have found that counting God's blessings, thinking about what God has done for us, can really help me. You remember the song, brethren and sisters. It goes like this. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. The song continues, but you know the words, I'm sure. And as I read those words, brothers and sisters, as I think about that, I am reminded of Brother Cyril, of his enthusiasm and his appreciation for God's word, and his understanding that he was this close to missing out on God's salvation, and how that affected his life, and how that affected who he was and the things he talked about, and how that was all he ever wanted to talk about. He wasn't interested in anything else. All he wanted to talk about was the truth of God's word. And I'm also, brethren and sisters, reminded of the many Bible characters and their enthusiasm and appreciation for God's word. As you cast your mind through scriptures, brethren and sisters, I'm sure pictures of Bible characters come to your minds. I picture David on his knees in earnest prayer, thanking God that he has survived yet another day in the wilderness, praising God that once again, God has spared his life. And that is reflected in numerous psalms, isn't it, brethren and sisters? 59, 34, 56, 57, 52, 31, 54. And David's favourite psalm, Psalm 18. And the psalm is entitled like this, brethren and sisters: From the Choir Director, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. He spoke to the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And if we go to Psalm 18, brethren and sisters, let's just read some words, the first six verses. Psalm 18 and the first six verses. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from mine enemies. The cords of death encompass me, the torrents of perdition assailed me, the cords of Sheol entangled me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Those words, brethren and sisters: in my distress I called upon the Lord. David knew how to count his blessings, didn't he? As we've read the Psalms, we must have read those many, many times. Through the Psalms, brethren and sisters, he names his blessings one by one, and he sees what the Lord has done. He lists it out in his arms, what the Lord has done in his life, how the Lord has blessed him through his life. If you and I wrote a psalm, brethren and sisters, if we were to put pen to paper, what would the title of that psalm be? How would we entitle our psalm? In the day that the Lord delivered me from... What would you put there, brethren and sisters? What has the Lord delivered you from? And then, brethren and sisters, what count blessings would you count one by one? As you penned your psalm, what blessings would you put there for others to read? Speaking personally, I only have to look at my family to see the Lord's blessings. A wonderful wife who puts up with my faults and mistakes, who I work together with so well, who is my partner, my friend and my rock, who is there in the good times and the bad. Two wonderful children whom I love from the bottom of my heart, who I would do anything for and whom I know love me. A home. Yes, it's got holes in the ceiling and damp on the walls, but it's a home and it suits us very well. A secure as jobs can be in uncertain times. Food on the table, clothes on our backs. brethren and sisters and friends we can turn to in times of need and trouble. What more do we need, brethren and sisters? But when did I last truly show appreciation to our loving Heavenly Father for all those wonderful blessings? And I'm talking about truly showing appreciation, not just whipping off a few casual words. But when did I show heartfelt thanks for the many blessings God has provided? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." 1 Chronicles 16, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting." Psalm 9, "I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders." Psalm 107, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting." Ephesians 5, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." And finally, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gifts." When I close my eyes, brethren and sisters, I can picture David in the wilderness, cold, hungry, tired, weary, living in fear of his life, trying to manage the distressed, the debtors, and the discontented, all who came to him. And despite all that, I can clearly hear him say, "Thanks be to God for your indescribable gift." And it's not just David, brethren and sisters. I can picture Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego surrounded by the flames, watching the ropes burn away. And on their lips, the words, "Thanks be to God for your indescribable gifts." How about Joseph in prison, brethren and sisters, in the mud and filth of human excrement, surrounded by murderers and thieves and robbers and the scum of society, imprisoned on a lie, totally innocent, staring at the bars, wondering if he would ever be free. And on his lips the words, "Thanks be to God for your indescribable gifts." And what about Jonah, brethren and sisters, sinking slowly into the raging sea, water filling his lungs, fighting to stay afloat. And then to his horror, a great fish is trying to swallow him up. In that moment, brethren and sisters, do you really think he realized that that fish was God's salvation? Or do you think he thought it was all over? And yet on his lips, the words, "Thanks be to God for your indescribable gifts." And what about Mary, brethren and sisters? Accepting the awesome responsibility given to her, tainted forever as a fornicator, a social outcast, rejected by her family, the subject of vicious gossip and rumours her whole life. No one ever believing her story, because who would believe that story? Nobody believing who the Father of Jesus really was. And yet on her lips the words, "Thanks be to God for your indescribable gifts." Then there is Elijah, running for his life. In fear, he's escaped to a brook. And day by day, the brook dwindles. The water slowly dries up. And Elijah knows it will get worse and worse. He forces down scraps, small scraps of meat that have been regurgitated by ravens. And then on his lips, the words, "Thanks be to God for your indescribable gifts." And then, brethren and sisters, I can picture Simeon in the temple, beholding two poor, tired, and scared parents with their new baby boy. I can see him lift up the baby, and I can hear the words, "Thanks be to God for your indescribable gifts. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." And then Anna, shuffles alongside. She beholds the parents and baby boys, and as she beholds them, on her lips, thanks be to God for your indescribable gifts. And then, brethren and sisters, Anna proclaims the good news to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Brethren and sisters, the world we live in showers us with gifts, birthdays, Christmases, holidays, any excuse for more stuff. Consumerism is everywhere. Every day the advertisers tell us, the more we have, the happier we'll be. But the truth is, the exact opposite. The more we have, the more we want. And the less appreciative we are. The appreciation and the enthusiasm is lost in the endless sea of possessions. And I only have to look at my own kids on Christmas Day to see the absolute truth of that. So what words will be on our lips, brethren and sisters? Nice scale electrics, lovely doll's house, cool power tools. I bet it cuts like a dream. Lovely shoes, they really match your eyes. Or will it be, thanks be to God for your indescribable gifts? So brethren and sisters, as we come to this bread and wine, we see real truth and worthwhile blessings. The blessings of salvation and eternal gifts. The blessing of forgiveness, redemption and God's kingdom to come. Hebrews 13 describes God's wonderful blessings like this. God brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Brethren and sisters, in this bread and wine, God's blessings could not be more obvious. They are here, right in front of us. Bread, wine, Christ's bodies, Christ's blood, the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, the pain and anguish of the cross, the redemption of our sins, the gift of eternal life. So as we partake of this bread and wine, let us truly show our appreciation in humble prayer and submission. And may our lips repeat the words, thanks be to God for your indescribable gifts.